Joshua chapter 24. We're going to read from verses 14 through to verse 27. This is a passage in the context of Joshua's charge to the people. Joshua is at the end of his life, nearing the end of his life, and in chapter 23 already he begins to give a sermon, you might say, but really an encouragement to the people of Israel. And in the first 13 verses, I'll mention more about that as we get into the message, we have an outline of all the things that God has done for His people. And then Joshua writes this, inspired by God's Spirit. Now therefore, that is, because of all that God has done for us, fear the Lord and serve Him in sincerity and in faithfulness. Put away the gods that your fathers served beyond the river and in Egypt, and serve the Lord. And if it is evil in your eyes to serve the Lord, choose this day whom you will serve, whether the gods your father served in the region beyond the river or the gods of the Amorites in whose land you dwell. But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. Then the people answered, far be it from us that we should forsake the Lord to serve other gods. For it is the Lord our God who brought us and our fathers up from the land of Egypt, out of the land, the house of slavery, and who did those great signs in our sight and preserved us in all the way that we went, and among all the peoples through whom we passed. And the Lord drove out before us all the peoples, the Amorites who lived in the land. Therefore, we also will serve the Lord, for He is our God. But Joshua said to the people, you are not able to serve the Lord, for He is a holy God. He is a jealous God. He will not forgive your transgressions or your sins. If you forsake the Lord and serve foreign gods, then He will turn and do you harm and consume you after having done you good. And the people said to Joshua, no, but we will serve the Lord. Then Joshua said to the people, you are witnesses against yourselves that you have chosen the Lord to serve Him. And they said, we are witnesses. He, that is Joshua, said, then put away the foreign gods that are among you and incline your heart to the Lord, the God of Israel. And the people said to Joshua, the Lord our God we will serve, and His voice we will obey. So Joshua made a covenant with the people that day and put in place statutes and rules for them at Shechem. And Joshua wrote these words in the book of the law of God. And he took a large stone and set it up there under the terebinth that was by the sanctuary of the Lord. And Joshua said to all the people, behold, this stone shall be a witness against us, for it has heard all the words of the Lord that He spoke to us. Therefore it shall be a witness against you, lest you deal falsely with your God. Thus far, the reading of God's holy word. Beloved in our Lord Jesus Christ, decisions, choices that we are called upon to make. Children here, you also need to make choices, even as young as you are in life. You need to make decisions to do one thing or another. What TV show am I going to watch? You might need to ask yourself. When Mom and Dad aren't around, am I going to watch the shows that Mom and Dad tell me that are the ones that I may watch? Or am I going to watch something else? Choices that we need to be making. Am I going to obey my mom and dad? Or am I going to disobey them? That's choices that children need to be making. If you're in school and you have a test, and your neighbor is sitting right next to you writing the same test, and you know that he or she always has the right answers, are you going to be cheating, looking over at their answer and writing that down? Or are you going to do your own work as you have prepared yourself to do? Young people, what friends will you choose? With whom will you spend the majority of your time? Will you be influenced by Christian friends and a friendship of Christian in the Christian circles? Or will you have friends that are not Christians? That is fine, because we need to witness too. But you need to ask yourself, am I going to be influenced by my friends? What movies am I going to go out to with my friends? Choices that need to be made. Is it right for me to spend my time and be influenced by this friend or that one? How will I spend the money that I make and some jobs that I may have from time to time? Babysitting or lawn cutting or other jobs? What am I going to do? How am I going to spend that money? Choices. Choices that need to be made. Adults have similar kinds of choices that they need to make. How am I going to influence my children? What choices do I need to make as a mom and a dad in the family so that my children will be influenced to follow the ways of the Lord Jesus Christ? What school am I going to send my children to, and how will they be influenced in that school structure that they will, or will I do homeschooling as a part of the education of my children? What church am I going to attend? What options are there? A healthy church that might be small, or a great big mega church? They might have false teachings, but oh, it's so nice to be there. Choices that need to be made. What am I going to do in my retirement years? How am I going to spend my retirement years? Those of us with gray hair begin to ask that kind of a question too. Choices are a part of our lives. Joshua presents God's people with a choice. Will you follow God, or will you follow the gods of the people in the nations, in the nation that you have just now moved into? Now, some will take the text, and I'm going to read that text, and this is what I want to focus on, verse 15. Joshua says to the people, if it is evil in your eyes to serve the Lord, and here's the crux of the text, choose this day whom you will serve, whether the gods of your fathers served in the region beyond the river, or the gods of the Amorites in whose land you dwell, choose this day whom you will serve. But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. Some will take that text and will say, see, it really is up to us to make a choice whether we want salvation or not. Well, that would be taking this text completely out of context, because in the context of these verses, God is saying, I have chosen you to be my people, and I have been providing for you. The first 13 verses of this chapter is a litany of all the wonderful things that God has done for his people. When God challenges his people to make a choice, he doesn't begin with warnings and threats. He begins with, see who I am. Consider what I have done for you. Consider how I have been faithful to you and provided for you and gathered you together. Listen to those first 13 verses, and you will see a litany of all those things. In verse 3, then I took your father Abraham from beyond the river. Verse 4, I gave Esau the hill country of Seir to possess. And then verse 5, I plagued Egypt. Verse 6, I brought your fathers out of Egypt. Moving along to verse 8, I brought you out to the land of the Amorites. And then later on in that same verse, I gave them into your hand. Later on in verse 10, and I delivered you. And I gave them into your hand, verse 11. And I drove them out, the enemy, before you. And then he says in verse 13, just before our passage, I gave you a land on which you had not labored, and cities that you had not built, and you dwell in them. You eat the fruit of the vine and olive orchards that you did not plant. I provided all of this for you. In that context, Joshua is now challenging the people to make choices that demonstrate and that show that they are the people of God. Daily choices, our daily choices, must reflect that we are disciples of Jesus Christ. Our daily choices must reflect that we belong to God, that God has called us to be His people. That's what this is all about. Will you, in the choices that you make, acknowledge that Jesus Christ is Lord and Savior of your life? And will that show in the choices that you make? So I want to look with you on three things. Very simple, really. Joshua looking back over what had happened. Joshua looking around. Joshua looking ahead. And then we also looking back and around and ahead as we face these various things. Now, Joshua poses these questions at a time in which he is about to depart from his earthly pilgrimage. He's at the end of his life. This is his farewell message. If you are a part of a church and has the pastor preaching his last sermon to this congregation because he's moving on to another congregation or is retiring or whatever it might be, and he has a last sermon, I'm guessing that the sanctuary will be crowded. You're going to invite people to come because our pastor is going to be preaching his last sermon. We want to pay attention to his farewell message. Well, this is Joshua's farewell message in real life. Joshua had just led the people. He had followed Moses, who took them up to the promised land, but not in. Joshua took them into the promised land. They had just gone through the process of conquering the promised land, distributing the land among the tribes. And now he gathers the representatives of the people. Listen to what he says in verse 1. This is the context of this then. He summoned the elders, the leaders, the judges, and officials of Israel, and they presented themselves before God. So he's presenting this to the leaders for them to pass along to the people of Israel as well. And Joshua knows that as they have now entered this land, there will be a lot of pressures in the land that they had just conquered. There will be false gods throughout the land that the people of that land have been following, and they will be tempted to be just like everybody else. They will be tempted to follow the other gods. They may hear about some of the activities that go on with following these other gods. They're going, whoa, that's pretty nice. I think I'd like that too. And they will be tempted to forget to whom they belong. There were many gods in that land, and that's something that had been coming through time, looking past. It had them for years and years and years. We live in a land today, Canada, North America, the world around us, really all of our world today, that has a history of false gods. And we need to be asking ourselves, so these false gods that are there, am I going to follow them? Ah, you say, well, we don't have any gods today? Well, think about this. Popularity is a false god. Money, success, independence, selfishness, power, prestige. Anything that distracts you from following the only one true God is that false god in your life. And for each one of us, it will be some temptation of a different god, small g, than it is for the next person in our lives. And it's important for us to remember that. It's important for us to know that even ideologies, thought patterns. I may have mentioned this here before because I mentioned it a lot in terms of the isms of our culture. The isms. What are you talking about, Pastor? I'm talking about that those concepts that end with the word ism. Ism really basically means focus on, paying attention to, concentrating on individualism. Concentrating and focusing on the individual. That's a god. That's an idea of the god. Modernism. All the modern ideas that are going on today, just wrapping our heads around that, reading about it a lot, and just being absorbed by that. That's an idea, a philosophy in our day that is a false god. All the isms that we can think about are ones in which we need to raise at least a yellow flag. There are some isms in the scriptures that are a part of our lives too. Catechism. That's not a false god. That's a study or a concentration on the Latin term that is katekeos, the Greek term, sorry, that is katekeos. So focusing on learning, that's a good thing. Baptism. A focus on what the water signifies in baptism. Don't see the font here. What the water signifies. Concentrating on that. In the Spanish language, the word Christianity, and I know that because I'm fully bilingual, right, is cristianismo, ismo, all the ismos. In the Spanish language, Christianity is one of those isms. That would be a healthy god, a healthy thing to focus on in our lives. But many of the other isms, have you come across the word, something that says ism, throw up that yellow flag and say, ooh, could that be a false god that's influencing me in my life? Just as Joshua is pointing the people to God, and by turning him and pointing them to God, he's really pointing them to Jesus Christ who is yet to come. These are disciples of Jesus Christ, even though he had not yet come. But remember that the name Joshua in the Hebrew language is Yeshua. And that name Joshua has the same root letters in the Hebrew language as the name Jesus. Think Joshua, Jesus. Joshua is, even in his name, pointing ahead to the one only true God in the person of Jesus Christ. That's what this is all about. And he is saying that God has provided for them in so many different ways in their lives that they need to be paying attention to. So this is a very momentous occasion for the people at that time. It is so momentous that we read in verse 26, Joshua saying to them, this is a very important occasion. We read there, Joshua wrote these words in the book of the law of God. They were important enough for them to be written so that people would be able to reflect back on it. Then he does more. And he took a large stone and he set it up there under the terebinth. In some passages, in some translations, they talk about an oak. That's a tree that is solid. It's going to be there for a long, long time. That's the point. The terebinth that was by the sanctuary of the Lord. He set up a stone. Why? So that as the generations to come would pass by that stone, the children would ask their parents, that stone is in a strange place. Why is that there? And then the parents would be able to pass along from generation to generation the teachings of, let me tell you why that stone is there. Let me tell you what happened in this place. And they can tell the story of God and the history of the people of Israel and the relationship with God and all that God had done for them, all the commitments that they had made to follow God. We make our commitments, don't we? Several months ago, you had a wonderful service of worship here in which several young people, I don't even know how many, did profession of faith. I know that because I spoke to some of the family members of those who did profession of faith here. So I know that happened. That's a momentous occasion. And when you do make that profession of faith, you need reminders of the fact that you made that commitment publicly before the church to profess to the church that you are a follower of Jesus Christ. That you make the promises of God that were made to you in the past, you make them your own, you believe them, and you will follow the Lord. You make that known publicly. But oh, how easy it is to forget. Those of us who have done their profession of faith, for me it was about 50 years ago, I still remember the day. And I also need my reminders that I did my profession of faith. God calls for us to be mindful of that in our lives. And how do we do that? Through Bible reading. Read your Bible regularly. Don't forget what God has done for you. And make sure that the choices that you make reflect what God has done for you. Going to church twice on Sundays. Gathering to hear what God has to say. Going to Sunday school. Going to the catechism classes. Going to the instruction classes that are all a part of that. Participating in the sacraments and seeing what's happening in the baptism and what's happening in the Lord's Supper. You do that each Sunday morning here. As a reminder, it's like a stone. This table is like that stone that reminds you of who you are. Jesus Christ died for you. All that Christ has done for you is celebrated weekly here in the celebration of the sacrament of the Lord's Supper. The sacraments serve like that stone as a reminder of who we are and what God has done for us in our lives. Joshua, looking back, seeing the influence of gods around him, we looking back, seeing the influence of our false gods around us in our society and saying, based on the fact that I have made a commitment to Jesus Christ, that I have responded to the call of Jesus Christ, that I am a disciple, what are my choices going to look like in life? Joshua looks around as well, and not only does he see the gods that are around him, as we look at the text, we read that the people are standing before God because they are renewing their covenant vows. That's what we are talking about, what's happening here. As for me and my house, says Joshua, we will serve the Lord. I will serve the Lord. And the people then at the end of the passage also repeat the same words. As for us and our houses, we will serve the Lord. Shechem is where this is taking place. If you have your Bibles open, you'll see in verse 1 and in verse 25 that there's a reference to Shechem. This place is important in the history of the people of Israel. Because it was here in Shechem that Joshua himself, in chapter 8, verses 30 to 35, writes the law on large stones again. And he read them to the Israelites, the law of God. That happened here in Shechem, a reminder of the covenant that the people made. It is here also that Abraham was shown the promised land, where God said to Abraham, even before Joshua's time, you see that land over there? That will be yours. That will belong to your descendants. and the descendants before you. Genesis 12, verses 6 and 7. Shechem is mentioned there. And Abraham builds an altar to the Lord in that place. In Genesis chapter 33 and chapter 35, Jacob is traveling along through the land. Much of his family have taken on some of the false gods that were a part of those whom his children and grandchildren had married who were not Christians. They were unbelievers and brought with them their gods. In Genesis chapter 33 and chapter 35, we have two instances in which Jacob, here in Shechem, challenges his children and grandchildren and great-grandchildren to follow the Lord and get rid of their idols, to cleanse themselves, to renew their vows before God. Shechem is a place of renewing of our covenant vows, renewing our commitment, reminding ourselves about the choices that we make in life to make sure that they are consistent with the promises that God has first made to us and with our response to God. And that takes effort. Because God's call to us in making these commitments means that we need to be sincere. Not just saying it because mom and dad want me to say it, or my grandparents, or my friends who are Christians want me to say this, so I'll do that, act this way, only because, it's got to come from the heart. And that means that sometimes you need to pay a price. There is the cost of discipleship, which is entirely another theme. I won't get into that. But there is that which is a part of it. It's all a part of submitting ourselves completely and entirely, everything, surrendering everything to the Lord. No hidden closets in our life. No way of saying, Lord, come into my life, all of it except for, well, there's a couple of things that I'd like to hang on to, thank you very much. It doesn't work that way. All or none with God. And that's what Joshua is reminding his people of. People of Israel, choose this day whom you will serve, all or none. Not dilly-dallying with that. What do we need to do to maintain our commitment, to make sure that we are doing the all or none, making sure that we are committing our all? Spending time with God, we talked about that, reading the Scriptures. Don't make any choices in life that need to be made without first asking God. God, prayerfully, what would you have me choose in this particular situation? Which of the choices that I have before me will be most honoring to you? Which of the choices that I need to be making now will be more consistent with extending the kingdom of God through my life and the choices that I make? And we need to be reminded of that. We need to be reminded that there is an assault, an attack, if you will, from Satan to distract us from this. So we must be careful, always, never to play with fire. We may be tempted to say, well, I think I can do this and still obey God. And, well, I can take it one step further and there's a line in the sand and you're approaching that line in the sand and as you're approaching that line, guess what? The line becomes a little bit blurry. And before you know it, you're looking for the line, you can't find it, and you turn around and you find that the line is behind you. You have already crossed that line and haven't even realized it. That's how Satan works. Joshua is saying to his people, as God says to us today, don't let that happen to you. If you see the line in the sand, stay away from it. Just stay away from it as far as you can. Don't get close. Because it becomes more difficult as you move forward towards that. God is making His promises to provide for us. In our commitment, in our choices that we make, we also need to reflect that. This means that anything that has to do in our own lives, we need to commit to Him. Our time, our talents and abilities and gifts and things that we do, our money. The money you earn doesn't belong to you, first of all. It belongs to God. He allows us to use that money to live and to provide for us and what we need, but He requires of us that we give back to Him the tithe, the offering. It's His to begin with. We have a tendency to look at that the other way around and say, well, you know, I made all this money and now God wants it all back again. Well, no, He's just asking for 10%, the tithe, of what God has been asking for. But we need to commit ourselves. I want to serve you. Will you serve Him? That's the big question. And this takes a commitment. You see, choices that we make reflect the commitment that we have, that we have made to follow Jesus Christ. It does not depend on feelings. It's a commitment, not a feeling. Because I will tell you right now, as you well know, that there will be days in which you don't feel like following the Lord. Just doesn't feel right. You just don't feel like doing it. Doesn't really matter what you feel like. You have made a commitment to follow the Lord. You have made a commitment to respond to the call of the gospel in your life. And that commitment needs to be honored. Whether you feel like it or whether you rather not. Your rathers have nothing to do with your relationship to God. Your commitment does. And that's important for Joshua, reminding his people in the context in which they are right now, about to enter the land, or about to expand themselves through the land, because they've already entered the land. It's an act of total obedience that Joshua is calling for them. We know the road is not going to be easy. We know that we live in a world in which the laws of this land many times are in contradiction to what the laws of the Scriptures are. Choose you this day whom you will serve. The laws of the land, many of which are contradictory to the Scriptures, or the laws of God in our lives. That's a choice in the various options that we have before us. Will we always be faithful? Will we always make the right choices? No, we won't. The Scriptures are filled with examples of people of God who strayed away. Elijah. He had his difficulties and his challenges. David. Not only did he commit adultery, but he murdered. We think of these examples in which we know that God's people make their mistakes. That's called sin. That's called not remembering the commitment that we have made to follow Jesus in the choices that we make in life. The good news is that when we make those poor choices, God gives us an opportunity to lay that before Him and say, Lord, here I am again. I've made a bad choice. Help me to turn this around and forgive me for what I have done. And through the promises that we have from God, as we see here too, God says, I forgive you. Clean slate. Move ahead. Remember that I've given you this clean slate. Remember that as you move ahead, you will continue be challenged to continue to make choices that are consistent with following me. And so as we glance forward now, and as they're about to go through the days of Joshua passing away, that's the following chapter, by the way, chapter 25. And the people are on their own, so to speak, except that there are leaders that will follow through from that, judges first, and then the kings that come on after that, that will give them direction and guidance. But then we have the specifics about going into the future about that. Let me just read through to you a dialogue, if you will, between Joshua and his people. Listen to this dialogue. It starts in verse 17. God's people say, "It is the Lord our God who brought us up and our fathers from the land of Egypt." They're reflecting on those first 13 verses. Yep, we realize this. The Lord our God has done this for us. And then in verse 18, they say, at the conclusion of verse 18, "We also will serve the Lord, for He is our God." Joshua says, "Great, glad to hear it." Right? No, actually, Joshua says, you can't do this. You're not able. You don't have it within yourselves to serve the Lord, because He's a holy God. He's a jealous God. He will punish you when you do wrong. You just cannot do this. He will consume you. Listen to verse 20. And then the people say to Joshua, "No, but," verse 21, "we will serve the Lord." And to Joshua in this dialogue, verse 22, "You are witnesses against yourselves that you have chosen the Lord to serve Him." And to the people and their response, "We are witnesses." Verse 23, Joshua says, "Okay, then, if you're true to your word, make some choices. Put away the foreign gods, the ones that are inclining your heart to other gods, those things that are distracting you away from God, get rid of them." And the people then say in verse 24, "The Lord, our God, we will serve, and His voice we will obey." You see that dialogue that goes on between God and His people always? In this case, Joshua, Jesus, and His people, us, disciples of Jesus Christ. And the dialogue needs to go on in our lives as we hear what God has to say to us, challenging us, admonishing us, encouraging us when we are doing well. And these are a part of what the life of the Christian disciple is all about, making these choices. And you're not alone with making these choices. You have the church around you. God's people. That's the definition of the church, is the body of Christ. They will be there when you feel like you're tripping up on some choices, or if you have an option between several choices to make, go to someone who is a faithful disciple of Jesus Christ, your elders, your pastor, a faithful sister in the Lord who you know is a godly woman, a faithful man in the Lord who you know follows the Lord in a lot of things, and present to them your options and say, "I'm struggling with this. We're not alone in this." We have the church of Jesus Christ around us. And we need to be reminded to lean on one another when these choices need to be made in our lives. People of God, we are called upon to be reminded of the words that Joshua challenges us with. "Choose this day whom you will serve." In 1 John chapter 4, verse 4, we hear these words, "You are of God, little children." We're all children in that sense. "And you have overcome them," that is, the temptations that will come our way to choose wrongly. Why? John says, "Because he who is in you is greater than he who is in the world." He was in the world, reference to Satan. He who is in you, reference to Jesus Christ. He's stronger. Lean on him. Follow him. Not he who is in the world. "As for me and my house, we will serve the Lord." Amen. Let's pray. Father, one thing to say, that we will indeed follow the Lord, and the choices that we make in life, that they will reflect that we are followers of Christ. It's another thing to do that. We can't do that alone, Father. We need the encouragement of those around us, of our Christian family members, Christian friends, our elders, our pastor, to help us make choices in life, especially as children, also as young people, even as adults. We pray, Father, that you would help us to be challenged every day with a question, with a challenge. Choose this day whom you will serve and the choices you need to make in life. And help us then also to be able to say, as for me and my household, we will serve the Lord. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.